The declining number of jazz clubs in the Boston area is making it even harder to earn a living as a jazz musician here. Even nationally renowned musicians have to go beyond composing and performing to make ends meet. Some area music schools are trying to help by training students to become entrepreneurs as well as musicians. WBUR's Simone Rios reports.
Walk down the practice hall at New England Conservatory and you hear blowing. Bowing, even bel canto. And in one of the dozen some odd rooms brimming with young musicians, there's a duo playing jazz.
Back up all my cares and woes, here I go singing low. Bye bye, blackbird.
That's Amanda Eckery singing. She's studying for a master's in jazz performance at the conservatory. Eckery doesn't expect to become a rich and famous jazz singer. She knows arranging a career will mean not just performing, but also teaching music, writing grants, and taking whatever kind of gig comes her way.
I like doing a lot of different things. I like writing and arranging. I teach songwriting. I don't think you can have tunnel vision and only go for one thing and ignore everything else. You kind of have to think about different options and maybe try it, and if you don't like it, okay, you tried it.
Being a pro musician has never been easy, whether you play in an indie band in Alston or a jazz trio in the South End. But there was a lot more work for jazz musicians in the past, not only in the mid-20th century at the height of the big band era, but even after the rise of rock and roll. Saxophonist Russ Gershon came to the city in the 1970s. He plays his tenor sax in his Somerville loft, where he runs his record company, rehearses his bands, and hosts performances.
Back then, for a few years, there was Lulu White's in the South End. There was a great place called Jonathan Swift's in Harvard Square. There was Fred Taylor's Jazz Workshop at Paul's Mall. There were little places like the Sunflower Cafe in Harvard Square, Wally's, of course, which is still here.
For the last three decades, Gershon has watched a steady decline in the number of jazz venues. That, he says, forces musicians to make compromises.
Among my peers, somebody might be playing a wedding on a weekend and get paid, you know, $500, and then go and play at a jazz club on Tuesday and make $50, and do a recording session on Thursday and make $200. So the amount you get paid might be actually inversely proportional to the amount of artistry that you feel like you're expressing.
That's the same experience Nat Mugavero has had over the last 55 years. Now he's 80 years old and playing drums with the Noah Preminger Trio at the Beehive in the South End. Mugavero remembers jazz taking a big hit with the rise of rock and roll.
And everybody went downhill, and Boston went downhill too. I was playing with a jazz trio, and we got bumped by a new band called Bill Haley and the Comets.
Ever hear that band?
I was the last jazz band to play in this club.
So Mugavero had to play different styles, blues and rock and top 40, and he had to keep his day job as a land surveyor.
I had a family. I had to work 7 nights and work in 5 days. And one time, I was young enough to do it and have 3 children at the time.
Things have only gotten worse since Mugavero's heyday, but he never let up on the music. It's not just musicians who have watched the jazz scene wither with time. De La Arabella Santori is a music publicist and talent booker in the Boston area. She worked for a decade as general manager of Sculler's Jazz Club.
You know, I know there's a lot of people who will think of the negativity of where we are, the state of jazz, the state of music, the state of even being a professional musician. And 10, 15 years ago, I would have felt the same way.
But now Santori sees signs of hope. She says music schools from Lonji to Berkeley are teaching entrepreneurial skills to music students. At New England Conservatory, the Department of Entrepreneurial Musicianship was formed in 2009. Director Rachel Roberts says hard business skills are part of the core curriculum, but she likes to talk about the entrepreneurial spirit.
Really, what's most important to us in the EM department is the mindset that we cultivate of how do you dream and make your dreams a reality.
For Santori, the music booker, that type of education is paying off.
In the last 5 years, now knowing what so many schools are doing to prepare students to be entrepreneurs, I feel like there's a renaissance coming.
Maybe not even a renaissance. I see it as a big bang.
It's hard to find someone more enthusiastic about the intersection of entrepreneurship and music than Panos Panay. In 2013, he sold Sonic Bids, the web company he founded to link musicians with gigs, for $15 million. Now Panay heads the Institute for Creative Entrepreneurship at Berklee College of Music. The Institute offers a startup lab, courses on tech devices, even a trip to Silicon Valley, where they visit Google and Spotify.
When I talk about these new technologies, virtual reality, augmented reality, artificial intelligence, all these things that are coming, I don't see them as threats. I see them as opportunities for the best artists out there to use them to find new avenues for exploration and new ways for expression.
Jazz musicians have always been a creative set. But Panay says new technologies are helping create markets that even a few years ago were not possible. So new generations must learn to adapt, not only to what's new now, but to whatever becomes of music in the future. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Simone Rios.
Thank you.